This show is a part of the Podnuts Network. Find more shows like this at www.podnuts.com.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go.
Welcome to Nightwise.com.
Nightwise.com.
Tired of choosing between Macs, Linux, and OS X? Listen to the Nightwise.com podcast and learn how to slide from operating system to operating system using our hack tips and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Tune tech into your way of life and let technology work for you instead of the other way around.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go, and you found it. Welcome to Nightwise.com, the one and only podcast with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Whether you're a Windows, Linux, Mac, iOS, Android, or Sun Solaris user, we have the tips and tricks you need to tune tech into your way of life and let that technology work for you. My name's Nightwise, and for the coming 45 minutes or so, I'll be your host on this episode of the Nightwise.com podcast, KW802 Storytime. For more information and the show notes, please head on over to the website, www.nightwise.com, that's KNIGHTWISE.com, where you'll find all the links to the stuff we talk about and the Nightwise.com media feed. Subscribe to this feed and get all of the Nightwise.com content delivered to your podcatcher automatically. Our podcasts, our screencasts, and our articles. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. Feedback@nightwise.com is the email address, or you can follow us on the social networks. Nightwise.com/Twitter for Twitter, Nightwise.com/Facebook for Facebook, and Nightwise.com/Google+, all one word, for our fantastic Google Plus group, which is very active, by the way. Hey, guys and girls. Great to be back behind the microphone. It's a lovely Sunday afternoon here in Belgium, and I had taken a big mug of tea and a little bit of time to sit down and record another podcast. KW802, episode 2 of season 8 of the Nightwise.com podcasts. And if you are at all familiar with the formula, you know what the word story time means. Once in a while, we sit behind the microphone and we grab a couple of articles or things that I've written, some of my column entries, and I read them to you. We add some, mellow music, and we make it into a kind of a listening experience. So if you're new to this and this is your first season that you're listening, stand back and relax and listen, because you're in for a treat. If you know what you're going to be getting into, you know what to do. Grab yourself a nice cup of coffee or tea, put on your headphones, close your eyes. Instead, not if you're behind the wheel of a moving vehicle or something like that, and enjoy. We have two stories for you today. One is privacy is a statement, and the other one is I'm not a gamer, I'm just retro. Let's just get into the meat of the matter, because here are our two columns.
Thank you.
Privacy is dead. It's one of those boilerplate expressions you hear whenever there's a discussion about the NSA sniffing bits along some transatlantic cable, or a scandal about a flashlight application that shares all of your contact information with a Chinese spammer. Perhaps people are right. Keeping your data to yourself is becoming harder and harder to do. Marketeers, governments, applications, devices, they all seem to be out to track and trace our every move and share whatever we do with the entire world. Google knows all about my emails. Facebook knows everything about my life. My cell phone is playing little snitch to some Canadian marketing agency in their plan to help push targeted advertising my way. So, why should I bother with privacy? Why we should bother? Well, you can ask yourself that question. The only way to remain untraced these days is to crawl into a cave, in the center of the woods, and never come out again. But the funny thing is, when I look at most people around me, they seem to be doing the opposite. Not only don't they have a problem with their privacy being invaded, they seem to rationalize the very invasion of their privacy into something utterly trivial. They can watch me. I have nothing to hide. If that were to be true, why bother wearing clothes to work in the morning? Let's rip off the curtains in the bedroom so everybody can see your lateral aerobics on your Sunday afternoon off, and let's take away all the doors to the restrooms so we can poop and talk face to face at the same time. You said you don't have anything to hide, right? You see, that's where the nothing to hide statements already breaks down. Our personal privacy makes us who we are. Whether you are pooping out the longest turd in history or shooting heroin up your arm, you will close the door of the toilet stall nevertheless. You don't have intimate conversations with your wife from opposite sides of the football pitch now, do you? You don't scratch your lady parts in front of your boss when they're itchy? How about shouting out what you make a year to your co-workers? No? See, you do have things to hide. Personal things. And that personal privacy defines you as a person, as an individual, and not a member of a mindless herd. I'm not doing anything wrong. That's another slippery slope. Because right or wrong are relative to whatever situation you are in. Take that American family that Googled fertilizer and pressure cooker on a Sunday afternoon. They had a SWAT team break down their door and arrest them on suspicion of trying to blow things up. Did they actually do anything wrong? No. Try doing a paper on fundamentalism. cancel your life insurance, and book a one-way plane ticket to the US. You will end up with a lot of questions to answer at best, or a cavity search before you have to leave the airport. Why? You're not doing anything wrong, are you? But the lubed-up glove of the Border Patrol officer sure makes you wonder if something might be up. What can they do with that information anyway? You'd be amazed how you can puzzle the most trivial of data together into one giant revealing blob of information about your interests, your habits, your entire life. And if you're lucky, the picture that is painted will be correct. What they do with that picture is completely out of your hands. So, suppose they get it wrong. What if taking that information out of perspective, or crunching the data the wrong way, will depict you as somebody who is chronically addicted to gambling? What if your boss thinks that you are an unreliable alcoholic because he just saw 5 public pictures of you at an embarrassing party on Facebook? If the information they collect gets misinterpreted, distorted, or manipulated, it can mean a whole lot of trouble. And the more information that's out there, the higher the odds of that happening.
I don't care if they are watching.
Maybe you don't. But that depends on who's watching. You might not have a problem having your internet traffic logged by the government who want to keep you safe from whatever. But what about the dingy kid in the corner of the internet cafe who is sniffing the local Wi-Fi network for dirty pics and juicy URLs? What about that stalky system administrator at work who is going through your logs to find out what flowers you like? It's Valentine's Day soon and creeps need to get laid too. Are you sure you want to be this open with them? Are you sure you don't want to keep some stuff away from nosy snoopers? So, take care of your privacy. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that it's just the government that's trying to watch you. For every NSA agent looking at your personal data, there are 10 marketeers doing the same, trying to analyze your habits, and 20 more script kiddies, haggers, keyloggers, malware bots, and spammers trying to get their hands on your information. You might want to disclose everything to the authorities, but that doesn't mean you have to do it to everybody else, now do you? So let's make privacy a statement. I protect my information, my communications, and my data, not because I'm doing anything wrong, but because I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm exercising my basic right of being my own private, free individual. I'm not a felon. I'm not a convict. My bedroom does not get searched every 2 weeks by guards. I'm not in jail. I'm free. Free to choose not to disclose my personal information to anyone who queries it. So protect your right to privacy as a basic right of being a free individual. Wear your encryption skills like a medal of your technological savviness. Be smart and challenge every request for your personal data. Go tell RunKeeper to sod off when it wants to see all of your friend info on Facebook. Ditch applications and websites that needlessly want to log and track you. Share what you want to share. Your personal privacy is not only a basic part of our personal freedom, it's also a statement. The ultimate statement that you, as an individual, are free.
Reality. Perception. Reality.
I'm not a gamer. I'm just retro. I'm not a gamer. There, I said it. Contrary to the beliefs of many that geeks tend to spend hours and hours online playing all kinds of cool games, I form the exception to that very rule. Whenever you watch episodes of The Big Bang Theory or some other big media productions that try to depict what a geek is to the average digital mouth breather, it always encompasses images of computers, terminal windows, and hours of console gaming. Personally, I am horribly bad at the latter. I am just not a console gamer. My gaming career, if you can call it that, did start out on console gaming. That is, if you can call the Atari 2600, its 8-bit graphics, and its indestructible controller a console. Compared to today's Xbox 360 consoles that try to do everything but wash your dishes, the Atari was horribly but brilliantly simple. Plop in the cassette, play the game. We never had to worry about remembering our Microsoft Live ID, logging in, an internet connection being online, or checking if our TV screen was DRM compatible for the HDMI output and stuff like that. The only thing you did have to remember back then was to finish up in time for your dad to watch the news, because you played the 2600 on the family TV. The controller of the Atari was horribly simple. Stick to move, buttons to fire or jump. And that was it. If I ever thought that this console would have prepared me for gaming in the 21st century, I was dead wrong. I never stood a chance. After spending my digital adolescence on PC gaming, using the powers of a noisy Cherry keyboard and a Logitech mouse, I kind of stopped gaming for a couple of years. Getting a Mac meant that I had lots of new things to keep me occupied, like producing music, videos, podcasts. There weren't a lot of games on the Mac anyway, in the beginning. And I never really cared about it anyway. But as fulfilling as it was to create a podcast, there was still this nagging sense of urgency that somewhere, somehow, I still felt the need to let off some steam by blowing up a random zombie with a big gun. So instead of installing games on my computer, I despised the hassle anyway, I decided to just get a console for my gaming needs. Because I was going back into gaming. I tried valiantly to throw myself back into the land of the modern gamer, and I got me an Xbox 360. The cultural shock could not have been any harsher when I dipped my very first toes into a level of Halo. But before we get into the horrible, embarrassing story of me being fragged by a 6-year-old, let's back up to my initial encounter with the Xbox. When I got this new Xbox unit out of its box and hooked it up to our TV, I somehow knew it was going to be a little bit more complex than my Atari 2600. It needed an internet connection, it said. I expected that. It needed to run its updates, it said. I expected that too, because it is a Microsoft product. It required me to set up an account, it said. Okay, let's set up an account. But when it started asking me questions like, what kind of head do you want to choose for your online avatar? And would you like to buy more accessories online? I was starting to feel a little bit out of my depth. Was this the state of gaming today? No. Slide in cartridge, flip switch, kill space invaders? No, no. It was a tedious process of digital bureaucracy and pointless avatar pimping. Come on, Microsoft. I want to play a game. Okay, I waded through the process, only to be appalled by the fact that I needed to pay extra to play my game online. A game that I had already purchased. Baffled by the paywall between me and what seemed to be a very basic need to play with others, I chose to go for the single-player mode first. Ah, Halo. I had seen kids play this and was amazed at how good the game looked, how versatile it was, how detailed and how entertaining it looked. This was going to be fun, right? Wrong. It turned out that the modern-day gaming industry had slid yet another insolvable Rubik's Cube between me and the game I wanted to play. This puzzle was called the controller. Forget the simplicity of the classic Atari controller. This thing had more buttons than I had fingers. It had knobs, dials, buttons, switches, whose purpose was completely lost on me. What was this? Add a giant TV, high-speed game, tons of bad guys, sounds, flashing lights, and a controller with 300 buttons. I was lost. I spent most of my time in Halo as organic paste on the wall before I switched to another game, Call of Duty. Here, I was even worse. In the heat of the fight, I forgot what button was up or down, or fire for that account, and I ended up giving the bad guy my rations. He did not appreciate the gesture. Okay, I thought a racing game would be better, but I ended up plowing fields with my very expensive Ferrari in Need for Speed. I just wasn't any good at it, was I? The controller and all its buttons had me baffled. The fast pace and high details of the game overloading my sensory palate, my lethal gaming skills were reduced to a puddle of goo in the land of modern online gaming. I sucked at it, big time. So, after spraining a muscle while playing the Michael Jackson Experience, I somehow thought the Kinect controller would be a big help. I decided to sell my Xbox. It's now on the Belgian version of Craigslist. Not because it's not awesome, because it is. Not because it's too hard, because it's not. But because the generational gap between me and the modern-day console gamers is too big for me to span. I'm a classic gamer. Meet me in the online world of Counter-Strike or Quake 3 or Wolfenstein or some other first-person shooter that gives me a keyboard and a mouse, and I'm lethal. Armed with a clunky keyboard, a sensitive mouse, I will seek you out, and I will be the sole progenitor of your continuous response. Because, youngling friends, I'm not old. I'm just retro. And that's all we have time for this week on the Nightwise.com podcast. I hope you enjoyed KW802 Storytime, where we brought you some columns from the Nightwise.com website. If you're not a visitor of the website, we do have fresh articles every day with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks around certain topics. We had Gaming Week 2 weeks ago. We had Privacy Week last week. And this week, it's going to be Guest Blogger Week. So you know, drop by and have a read, because there's plenty of information on the blog that you might find very, very interesting. And if you don't, well, that's okay. That's why we do these kinds of episodes, where we bring you the columns for you audio files and listeners to enjoy. Hope you liked it. Before we go out with a bang, I just want to take a little bit of time to do a big shout out to Lord Drachenblut, good friend of the show. He just started his chemo treatment, and we want to wish him all the best, and want to tell him that our thoughts and our prayers and whatever positive vibes we have with the Force are with him in this difficult time, and that whenever he is feeling the urge to start becoming green and turning into a incredible monster, he should give us an advanced warning so we can call the Avengers and make a sequel. So Lord D, you know, hang in there, buddy. It's gonna be great. It's you're gonna be fine. So that's all we have time for this week. We will see you on the flip side in another episode of the Nightwise.com podcast, our very personal show filled with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. If you also have audio feedback that you want to share with us, you can send it to us, feedback@nightwise.com, and you also can be part of the show. And if you have any questions or comments or suggestions, why not drop by our Google Plus group on nightwise.com/Google+, all one word. I'm going to be out for the next 5 days, relaxing a little bit. And if you're visiting the blog and you're hearing this very early in the week, you might still be able to enjoy Guest Blogger Week on the nightwise.com blog, where we have a lot of fun with articles and comments and, you know, just basically fun stuff. See you guys and girls on the flip side. Until then, let technology work for you and not the other way around. Bye bye.
You have been listening to the Nightwise.com podcast, the show with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Send your feedback, questions, or start your own personal flame war by contacting us directly on feedback@nightwise.com, or following us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. You can support the show by sharing it with your friends or writing us a nice iTunes review at www.nightwise.com/iTunes. Or, if you have some credits to spend, click the PayPal button on the Nightwise.com website to help us pay the bills. Just remember, there is real life outside cyberspace! But it's not all that important.